or go online to wgxc.org/donate. That's 518-697-7400, or go online to wgxc.org/donate. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Keep the radio coming. Keep the soapbox standing. Keep the framework available. Keep public access to your airwaves, at least 90.7 FM, alive. 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate.
My name is Eric from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
Hey, dude. Hey, you want to get a cup of coffee with me? Oh, no, man. I just went to get a cup of coffee, but you want to go get a cup of coffee? Oh, yeah. I would like to go get a cup of coffee with you. Hey, do you want to go down the street later on and get a couple cups of coffee? Yeah, all right. I'll go get a cup of coffee. Hey, do you want to watch my coffee while I go into the coffee shop to get another coffee? Oh, yeah, I got two cups right here. I'll just watch your cups while I watch my cups.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'll have some clam chowder followed by beefsteak on rye, pumpkin pie, whipped cream and coffee.
Hi, this is Phyllis Segura, host of Eating It in the Hudson Valley, a monthly program about anything food-related, like farmers, recipes, local products, and permaculture. I'll feature interviews, my monthly food report, and more. Tune in on the second Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3 in the afternoon on WGXC 90.7 FM or online at wgxc.org.
I want a green salad on the side. Don't forget the French fried pizza pie, garlic and anchovy.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by 5-Star Urgent Care, a facility for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries and illnesses. No appointment is necessary, and most insurance plans are accepted. Walk-ins are welcome at 5-Star's new location in Greenport at 462 Fairview Avenue. Information at 5starUC.com.
Welcome, Bright Siders. This is Reverend Kim Singletary, your perpetual optimist, and you are listening to There's a Bright Side Somewhere. This is Mr. Horace Silver, song for my father. This is for my father, Mr. Elton Prescott. This is for your father, all you Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, all you jazz enthusiasts. This is song for my father.
Thank you.
And that is Mr. Horace Silver, jazz piece called Song for My Father. It's from his selection, Blue Note 101, An Introduction to Jazz. And I remember as a little girl, my dad played the saxophone, and he introduced me to the jazz world. And so as we start off our program today, it is a pre-Father's Day show. It's a tribute to all the fathers out there this morning. And just want to give a shout-out again to my dad and invite you to do the same for your dad, wherever they may be. You are listening to There's a Bright Side Somewhere, and it is Bright Side Wednesday. I have in the studio with me today Miss Linda Mussman, recently elected to the Board of Supervisors here in Hudson, and Mr. Quentin Cross, who has also served in elected capacity here in the city of Hudson. They are here with me, and we're going to have a wonderful conversation that I hope will be useful to people out there, that you'll pass the information along. And even now, you know, in anticipation, let somebody know that we're on the air. They might hear something that helps them to see there is a bright side somewhere. Well, you know how we do. So before we get to that, we're going to get to this. This next selection is a song that I just fell in love with, and I hope you will too. It is by Mr. Matthew. Nope, not that one. This one is by Mr. Austin French, and it is the Freedom Hymn. Oh, I hope you enjoy.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I'll never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you. Freedom in knowing my life is better off in your hands. The past is gone, what's done is done. Now I'm alive, and I'm never gonna look back. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without.
Going to just ask my studio guest today, to give their self introductions. We are here to talk about getting people free, setting people free. So first off, I'm going to ask whomever would like to speak first.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So I'm Quentin Cross, and I am the lead organizer for Citizen Action of the Hudson Valley. We work on the fight for social, economic, environmental, and racial justice, housed in Kingston, New York. And I'm the founder of the SPK Social Justice Center in Hudson, New York, which works to empower the black families in Hudson and Columbia County. I am formerly incarcerated, and I'm just happy to be talking about the move for criminal justice reform because it's been a long time coming, and we have some momentum, so we'll be talking more about that.
Fabulous. And Supervisor, she's over here making copious notes, y'all.
Linda Mussman here. I'm recently elected to the Board of Supervisors in Columbia County, representing the 4th Ward. I'm here today to talk about the Columbia County Bail Fund, which is another hat I wear. It was organized in December of last year, and we are a 501c3, a tax-exempt organization, operating as a community bail organization, which is under the state law of New York, and we are able to help people get out of jail when they have committed a misdemeanor. We are hopeful that this is going to make a difference. It already has. We've been practicing a while, and the results are fantastic. So,
well, I am just delighted and excited when I heard about, when I read about actually what you were doing. I knew I had to have you on the show so we could have this conversation today. And so we're going to come back in a minute to that. But for now, I want to tune into this song that speaks to people who have found themselves in situations and people gave up on them. But we're not giving up on folk today. That's right. We're going to listen to Mended.
And you see broken beyond repair. I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far, I see you one step away from home. How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Oh, but I can still recognize the one I love in your tear-stained eyes. I know you might not see it now, so lift your eyes to me. I paid, and there's nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won. So hold on, it's not the end. No, this is where love's work begins. I'm making all things new, and I will make a miracle of you. My child, my beloved, the new creation, you're becoming. You see the scars from when you fail, but I see the stories they will tell. You see worthless.
but I see priceless. You see pain, but I see a purpose. You see unworthy, undeserving, but I see you through eyes of mercy. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. You're not too far gone. You're one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. No. When they see wounded, I see mended. Oh, I see mended.
That is Mr. Austin French. Mr. Austin French was a runner-up on a WABC TV show called Rising Star back, I think, in 2014 or something like that. And now he's big on the charts. And I just love that song, Mended. Well, we are here to share. First off, let me give a pause for the cause. We are in the WGXC springtime drive, and we are asking our listening viewer, our listening audience, to help support us with whatever contribution you can make, because there is no contribution too big or too small. We have a daily goal of $2,100, and I have a personal goal. Each programmer is asked to pull in $250. So I know there's somebody out there that can just write that $250 check or bring that $250 in, and we can keep on with our programming, and I won't have to keep coming back. I don't mind doing it, though, because it is your help and financial support that keeps me and all of us on the air. So would you please pick up your phone, give us a call. The pledge drive number is 518-697-7400. I will repeat, 518-697-7400. Or you can donate online at WGXC.org/donate, or you can come into our studio and bring that in personally. We are here at the beautiful First Presbyterian Church, the lower level at 369 Warren Street, the 4th Street side. And you can also mail it in. We have so many ways for you to give. You can mail it in at WGXC, care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405. I will repeat that. WGXC, care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405. And beloved, when you make that pledge or you give in that donation, let them know that you're supporting WGXC and me, Reverend Kim, the perpetual optimist here at There's a Bright Side Somewhere. So now we're going to get into our conversation with this dynamic duo. Mr. Quentin Cross and Miss Linda Musman are here. And Miss Musman, who I'm going to refer to as Linda, because that's what I've called her since as long as I've known her. No disrespect to her current title.
Please, supervisor is always a little alarming.
A lot of syllables, right? So you were sharing in your self-introduction that you have formed, and you and your team committee have formed a 501c3 to help people who get arrested for misdemeanors.
Right.
Let's talk about a little about what that would catchment that would be, and help them with bail. So let's talk to the people, especially like people out there that know nothing about any of this.
Generally, people are arrested and put in jail for misdemeanors, and the requires cash bail. Sometimes it's $100. Sometimes it's $2. Sometimes it's $500. We are allowed to bail people out with a maximum of $2,000, and only misdemeanors. That's by law. Sometimes you sit in jail for an extended period of time because you don't have the money. And that is really punishing poor people because you are not, you haven't been convicted of anything. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty in this country. And the bail really defies that idea. So you can sit in jail for several weeks or several days without the ability to pay to get out so you can defend yourself outside of the jail cell.
Was this something that you had started working on prior to the young man that was like, I don't know, he was a teenager, he had a backpack incident or something, he ended up in Rikers Island for like 3 years, I think, because he didn't have bail money. Were you all working on this issue before that, or did this give you that inspiration?
You know, in New York City, I worked with youth during the Lindsay administration. I was hired to help kids get jobs in the summer, and then introduced me as a person from the Midwest to big city concepts of what went on and poverty and what happened to young people. I met a young man who was sent to Rikers Island and helped bail him out, and that was in 1970s. So I've been very involved with the criminal justice or injustice system for a long time. And coming to Columbia County, I've helped kids on PINS to defend themselves.
Please
against,
tell people what PINS is.
PINS is a person in need of supervision, and it's a long time it's been defined as the prison school-to-prison pipeline, where young people are placed under the authority of the court and probation and are entering the criminal system as a young person. And that is something that I find really unconscionable, to engage a young person who has to stand in front of the county judge in family court, which is where they end up.
I want to interject right here because we have a prospective listening audience of 78,000 households. And in the work that I get to do in the community and elsewhere, there are a lot of people who have no idea about what we're talking about right now.
Right.
So I want to...
Go ahead.
What's up?
No. You're good. It's a, just turn it up.
Oh.
And turn lenses up. Yeah.
Okay. How about
all
I
right,
turn them all
go.
Up? So I won't thank you, my technical assistant in here right now.
A listener. Thank you so much.
Thank you, listener. So I want to talk and perhaps interject from time to time to ask you to give a little bit more description to something that you might say. All right. So back to the school to prison pipeline. Either one of you want to talk a little bit about that injustice in our system?
You know, I met this problem when Claudia and I first moved to Hudson. A young man who was working with us ended up on PINS. And I, as someone new to the community, I said, what is PINS? And when I understood what PINS was, persons in need of supervision, it meant that a young person was under the supervision of the legal authorities in our community.
And who places a PINS on a young person?
Well, this is one of the objections I had. As I continued to follow the PINS process, the school was often a participant in this project of placing children under the authority of the state government and the legal system. And a parent can do it, a neighbor can do it, anyone who files a complaint against a child. But the school was doing it based on records that they were accumulating in school. Let's say the computer age allowed the schools to track children. So if you didn't take your hat off or you were late and you accumulated a certain record, it would provide the authorities to protect, to place you on PINS, which would give them a document which they could follow into the court system.
Okay.
So, you know, a child oversleeps a certain amount of time, or they say they are in the hall without the proper paper in their hand, or they Again, their costume, their clothes is not something that appeals to someone. They can be placed, that can be put on their record, and as the record accumulates, that record can be used against them.
Now, for people who are not familiar with this whole system and scenario, it may seem like the things you're saying are frivolous and could not possibly be a case that would put a kid on pins. But from your experiences, my experiences, we know that those kinds of frivolous things have an impact on certain populations.
That's right.
And Mr. Well, Cross?
Yeah, so I would speak to that. And it boils down to lens, the lens in which you view things and you view what we would call adolescent behavior, normal behavior, things that kids do. Have basically been criminalized. And in our current system, which is changing through Raise the Age and other initiatives and legislation that's out there, the system, like the premise around a person who needs a supervision would be, if you read the legislation, like, oh, that's a good thing. That'll be we're in a position to give some help to children and families. But it always boils down to the implementation and who's in charge of executing that vision. And in New York, for the most part, it has been the probation department, which has a criminal lens. So they take on that work. And if a kid comes in, you know, under a pins, you know, what happens when they do something wrong? You violate them, right? Because that's a probation mindset. It's not a mindset of, okay, this is an adolescent who has, you know, got in trouble in school. We're going to provide these services. We're going to do these things. Their easiest route, which is what they've been taught, is to violate them. And now they're going over to family court and dealing in that process. So, you know, getting our kids out of that probation process to, in Columbia County, you know, I give them a hand. They have changed some of the way in which they do it. Going to a pre-pins and pre-supervision where the kids don't even enter, it's directly going to getting preventative services. And you go through that, you know, through that process, which could be a long process, but it means that you're not giving up. You're trying to find as many resources that you have out there to support these kids rather than previously just they're on pins, they're in probation, and before you know they're at a detention center.
And then they start on the school to prison pipeline, which we're going to come back and talk about in a moment. Ms. Linda,
I think that's the reality is that it quickly can escalate and end up with having your child sent away.
I like to, especially when we get into these deep and heavy kind of conversations, I like to make the music mix in there. Give people a chance to exhale and absorb some of this, and give people an opportunity also to grab a pen and a paper, because you might hear something that might be helpful to you, and certainly want to encourage people and let them know if you've been in this situation, your child has been in this situation, you're a product of this system, that there is hope for you, and that no matter what, in Romans 8, chapter 31, verse 31 to 39, I can back that up with, you know, some gospel word right there. No matter what, God ain't giving up on you, and neither are we. Let us hear from our next artist, Mr. Ryan Stevenson, No Matter What.
A lot of us grew up believing at any moment we could lose it all, and at the drop of a hat, God might turn his back and move on. A lot of us feel like we blew it, thinking that we're just too far gone, but I want you to know there's still a hope for you now. No matter what you've done, you can't erase
can change it. You're not separated, no matter what. There's never been a better time to get honest. There's never been a better time to get clean. So come as you are, run to the cross and be free.
Goodness. Well, we were having some conversation here in the studio while we were off and listening to No Matter What. And we're going to have a little conversation about what we were having conversation about offline towards the end of our show, which has been extended today. We have some extra time, and I just think that that is divine intervention to give us some extra time to talk about some important matters. We value your time. We don't try to do frivolous things, but this is very serious right now, what we're talking about today. So for those of you who are just joining us here on There's a Bright Side Somewhere, I want to bring you up to speed. I have in the studio with me today Miss Linda Mussman, who is a supervisor here in Columbia County, elected official. Mr. Quentin Cross, who has also been an elected official in the city of Hudson in the past, who now heads up Citizen Action New York out of Kingston, and is also a founder of the SBK Social Justice organization that deals with racial and economic and social injustices. And our conversation is dealing with what we consider and many consider to be injustice in some systems that are operating in our county, in our nation. And we have some soldiers on the battlefield to help make just what's been unjust for too long. If you like what you hear here on There's a Bright Side Somewhere, because when we tackle these things, we want to let people know that there's some hope out there. Let the church say amen. And if you like what you hear and you want us to continue to provide radio everywhere, I'm asking you to call in today and make a pledge. The number for call in is 518-697-7400. I will repeat, 518-697-7400. Or go online and donate at wgxc.org/donate. We have a goal for our pledge drive for $25,000. The sooner we reach that mark, the sooner we can continue with uninterrupted programming. I have a personal goal of $250 in this hour, now 90 minutes, that we have to share with you today. So give us a call, 518-697-7400. Your support helps us to do what we do. All right, so we're coming back, and we are talking about, first of all, the work that is being done here and elsewhere in terms of bail. And for a lot of people, including myself, until the conversation really started to happen, I didn't see bail the way I see it now, that it is an injustice. It's an unjust system that really comes out of the whole issue that we have about rich and poor, black and white, et cetera, and so forth in our nation. I see you shaking your head, so I'm going to let you come to that, Mr. Quentin Cross.
So yes, one of the people's idea around bail, as we look at bail reform. I've been in the last couple of months, I've been in many interviews with New York State senators and assembly people and those trying to run for those offices. And when you have that conversation around bail, like, what is bail supposed to be used for? And it's just to make sure a person returns to court. It's nothing to do with innocence or guilt. And our society is built in such a way that if you get arrested, you did it. So bail is to keep you in jail and keep us safe. But no, we live in a country that you're innocent until proven guilty. So let's have those conversations. So at Citizen Action, we're a part of a group, Free New York, out of Just Leadership. And they are working so hard, and so are our partners. Everyone's working hard to ask for bail reform, to demand it. And the bill that is currently in the assembly is a bill that is being sponsored by Latrice Walker. Yes, people, we can't do really cold actions here, I know, but it'd be nice to call her office and let her know that you've reviewed the bill.
Do you have a number where people can call if they're interested? We like to give out information.
Absolutely. Okay. Before the end of the call, I'll make sure we give the numbers of the bills and what's going on. So I just want to say real quickly, some of the things that we've called for. New York must pass comprehensive bail reform that eliminates money bail, protects the assumption of innocence and the right to freedom, ensures the presumption of release in all cases, sets strong limits on when and how any pretrial conditions are set, ensure that assessments are based only upon an individual risk or failure to appear in court. This must be evidence-based, and that's important because a lot of the judges say, oh, we're using an assessment tool. Now, if I were to go to court and I'm looking to receive bail, having come from 41 North 2nd Street, which is Bliss Towers, the likelihood that assessment would say I'm not getting out. So we need to have are based only on the individual risk of failure. Protects against the overuse of pretrial supervised release conditions and forbids the use of bias risk assessment tools. So these are the things that we are calling for in our in bail reform. But one of the things that, like, for community-based radios, and as we looked at it, the challenge that we have is protects the assumption of innocence and the right to freedom. That's the biggest thing.
I think I may be corrected about this, but I think in Atlanta they did go to cashless bail for misdemeanors. And I was trying to look up the name of the young man who killed himself.
Khalif Browder.
Thank you. I should have asked you. I should have known,
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Thank you. So this whole issue about people getting arrested for misdemeanors and not being able to make bail, I want to talk a little bit about the impact that it has on a person.
Well, one impact is they can't go to work if they have children, the children are alone. It ruins the family. It casts a very negative environment around someone. Automatically, they're assumed that they're in jail. They must have done something wrong. In every way, it's a very horrifying experience. Just going through the being locked up, being put in chains, all of that, having to appear in court in shackles is certainly doesn't put you in a light that's positive. So in every way, I see it as a destructive element.
Agreed. And the reason why I wanted to, make that point is because people who have not had negative experiences with our criminal justice system and think it's working well to keep people safe from criminals, I want to help expand their perspective of this whole system and this whole situation. And so, there are people, as Mr. Cross said, you get arrested, you can't make bail, but we are presumed innocent until found guilty. And so letting somebody sit in jail, people think that, well, they can't make bail, they're in jail, as you said. So, it gives a negative light upon them that they must be guilty because they're there. One of the things that's very unjust about that system as well is the economic disparity. The economic disparity, my meaning, if you got money,
you're going to get out.
You can commit murder and get out on bail. Want to talk a little bit about the economic disparity and the injustice, the unjust nature of the bail system.
Go for it, Quinn. I mean, if you're rich, you can get out. If you're poor, you're going to get stuck. That's quickly.
So some data. 70% of people in New York jails are legally innocent.
70% are legally innocent.
They have not been convicted of anything. So I'm going to just break down New York jails by the numbers. We have this fact sheet. Every year, more than 162,000 New Yorkers are locked up in county jails outside of New York City. 62% of jailed New Yorkers are held in the state's other 57 counties. On a daily basis, more than 25,000 New Yorkers are caged in county jails. 70% of New Yorkers who are held in county jails are legally innocent are being held pretrial. The cost of this in county jails costs nearly $2.5 billion per year. And we know it disproportionately affects black and brown folks.
The statistic that he's citing is, I think you'd be surprised to know that the county jails are surpassing New York. And then the Columbia County Bail Fund, and believe me, there aren't a lot of them in the counties and upstate, is a very crucial key to making a difference in this practice, because it's about economic development based, made off the backs of poor people, and particularly people black, brown, and those who are really financially on the lower end of the spectrum are really being punished, and we're making money off of the bail system.
Absolutely.
And the criminal system, and it goes on in these places like Columbia County.
One more number real quickly.
Go for it.
Black New Yorkers make up 43% of the state jail population, but only 15.5% of the state overall population.
Now, there are people who think... I wish we could just drop the mic right there, but we can't. Blowing it up.
Bring some music, quick.
Okay. Okay, that's a cue. We're gonna play some music and come right back. We're going to exhale and give you a minute to absorb and digest. Here we go, Mr. Matthew West. This is a song that speaks to me, speaks to us, speaks for us, speaks to you. We got to do something.
Woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven.
I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you.
Now listen.
If not us, then who? About how we are God's hands and feet, but it's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy, we'll tell ourselves it's alright, somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, gonna do something. If not us, then who? If not me and you, right now, it's time for us to do something. Yes, it is. Come on. If not now, then when?
Beloved, it is time for us to do something, and I have some doers here with me in the studio today. Our supervisor here, Miss Linda Mussman, community activist, community organizer, prior politician, and also a prior incarcerated person who is on the battlefield using his experience. I love how God can take what happens for bad and make it work for good. I thank how he writes in the dust. Amen. How he turns dust into diamonds. I mean, I just love what God does. Okay, so we're back and we're going to have this conversation. We're continuing this conversation about the injustice of particular system, although what's going on in the current country climate. There's a lot of dust kicking up, a lot of injustice, and people are starting to pay attention. And one of the injustices that people are starting to pay attention to is our criminal justice system and bail in that system, the bail system. So before we went to break, there was some statistics that were being given out by Quentin Cross. And one of those statistics caused me to want to just make a conversational point. When you talk about how many black people, people of color, African Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, whatever the case may be, make up the population of our jails and prisons, there are some who think that that just feeds into the stereotype that we're all criminals, or that, you know, it's they're there because they're criminals. Let's talk about that whole misnomer, I guess is the word.
Well, we can speak to it very clearly here, and this is a conversation we're going to have later. Black and brown and poor communities are over-policed. That's what it boils down to. So there's more police presence in those communities, and they are arrested more for same or similarly situated things that white people don't, because there's no police pretty much in those areas. They're in our areas. When you look at the statistics, the numbers said 43% of state jail population are black folks, but they only make up 15.5% of the state overall population. How is that possible? Like, how is it possible? If we look just at Hudson, it's very, like, where we are right now, we saw it last night. It's, like, very possible. Like, people were arrested in Hudson and, like, right outside of Hudson. Like, there's a whole county, right? There's a whole county.
Yeah, we got a big place.
We have a big county. But if you read the papers normally, all the arrests occur in Hudson. Has anybody scratched their head? Like, ain't nobody selling a drug in Hillsdale. Ain't no firearms in Ankrum. There's no, like, let's think about it. Let's think about that context. And that's why we are where we are. And then you add the socioeconomics of not having the resources.
Well, before we go to the socioeconomic, let's stay on the over-policing for a minute.
Let's
because
talk about
I heard from our current administration that one of the ways to solve the crime problem is to send in more police, particularly speaking about black-on-black crime in Chicago. And and it was like, you know, well, I'll send in more police. But as you said, we are over-policed as it is. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation, I remember speaking to someone about a frivolous arrest, and they were our lighter-skinned brothers and sisters, you know, the Caucasian, Anglo-Saxon American persuasion. And when I was describing the incident, they couldn't believe I was telling the truth, because they knew that in their community where they live, nobody would be arrested for that, mm-hmm. you know, sitting outside with an open container. Nobody would be arrested for that, you know, jaywalking across the street, you know, they wouldn't be arrested for that.
Well, it's the broken windows concept, which has been a failure. You know, you arrest anybody for anything small, selling loose cigarettes or standing with an open container, you know, proved to be a very negative effect in New York City, for example. And I know when things happen in Hudson, that's the first thing people say, oh, we need to be more aggressive in our policing. And I don't think that really works. What works would be that we had more community involvement, that the police really worked with the community rather than punishing the community and engage with the community and get out of their cars. I mean, I've been asking for that for a long time. That seems to be impossible. They're addicted to their cars, and they can't seem to ever leave them and actually talk to people in the community or walk the beat, you know, the old style.
Well,
yeah,
we're throwing out the challenge out there today,
walk
right?
The beat. Feel the beat. You know, I don't know. It's after last night. I mean, it looked like a war zone. I thought it was Iraq or Afghanistan. I mean, the militarization of the police departments across America is something that I really think is way over the top. And it's been a conversation we've had with our own police chief. I was very surprised to see him use these over-aggressive tools in our community. I mean, I was right a few hundred feet from where I live to wake to walk out and see the flashing cars.
Okay.
And the huge...
We're going to go to a station break.
Yes, boom.
In a minute. And so I don't want to skirt over this conversation. I want to get into this conversation, okay? So I'm going to do our pledge appeal, and we're going to do that station break, and then we're going to pick back up on what happened last night.
Okay.
All right. So, beloved, you are here at There Is a Bright Side Somewhere. And again, you know, some people say it's delusional, maybe. Some people say it's insanity, but I am a perpetual optimist. And where some people see a problem, I see a potential opportunity. And so we have some difficult days, but we have been in difficult days, but we have been in difficult and will and the determination, and we continue in the struggle. We're gonna prevail. That's how I be. So listen, drive here at W.